the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Lakeshore is basking in sunshine at this noon hour, but by this time tomorrow, we'll see some clouds and maybe a storm or two. A look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com follows this news. Three unnamed persons were injured after a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of 140th Avenue and 46th Street in Overijssel Township this morning. The southbound vehicle of a driver from Zeeland went through a stop sign and struck a westbound vehicle with two Holland area men inside. One of those two men was airlifted to Spectrum Butterworth Hospital with serious injuries, while the others were taken to Holland Hospital for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. The Allegan County Sheriff's Department continues to investigate the incident. The ball is back in the BPW's court in terms of electrical service for about 700 residents in the far northwest corner of Laketown Township after the Township Board approved a tentative 30-year franchise agreement yesterday.
Terry Hoffmeyer, Laketown Township Supervisor, said that the information is being sent to the City of Holland for review.
A resolution and a proposed franchise agreement with the City of Holland, and we will be forwarding those documents to City Council. Okay. We're obviously encouraging them to stay in Laketown Township, but we'll see what their reaction is.
According to Hoffmeyer, so far, the BPW has not agreed to the franchise request, but hopefully this time the issue will be resolved. Hoffmeyer says we have continued to insist that a franchise agreement should include a provision that the township have the ability to negotiate and receive a payment in lieu of taxes if electric generating facilities are constructed within the township, similar to payments made to the city by the BPW. The BPW has given the township a July 31st deadline to make a decision. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
For the second time since May, Holland High School has lost a staffer to the new Ypsilanti Community High School. District officials said yesterday that Principal Justin Jennings had submitted his resignation last Thursday after just 1 year to assume the same position at the newly formed school that is a merger of the Ypsilanti and Willow Run districts in Washtenaw County. Jennings' wife had just recently accepted a position with the Google complex in Ann Arbor, and Jennings wanted to keep the family together. In May, football coach Lamanza Williams left Holland High, also after just one winless year, to be the athletic director and assistant principal at his hometown school. Holland Superintendent Brian Davis is working on naming an interim principal for the start of classes in 5 weeks. The value of having a dog to protect property was brought home literally to a Port Sheldon Township homeowner yesterday morning. According to Ottawa County Sheriff's Detective Lieutenant Mark Bennett, the unnamed man was aroused from his bed by his canines barking around 5 a.m. at the end of a cul-de-sac on Dune Drift Drive. That's in the vicinity of Van Buren Street and Lakeshore Drive.
When that homeowner began to investigate, he noted a suspect vehicle leaving the scene. Upon further investigation, items were discovered missing from his vehicle that was parked near his home.
Deputies were dispatched, and the suspect's vehicle was pulled over a short distance away. Not only were items taken from the victim's home recovered, but also stolen loot from three other reported burglaries in the vicinity, a total value of nearly $1,000. The suspects, described only as a 22-year-old man and an 18-year-old woman, both from Grand Haven Township, spent the rest of the day in the Ottawa County Jail yesterday, waiting arraignment that was slated for today. Tulip Time Festival officials announced that applications for the 4th Annual Art in Bloom Poster Competition that determines the official poster for Holland's signature event are now being taken. A 3-person jury will determine the winner that will be announced in February. 19 other finalists will enter a Viewer's Choice Award competition to be held during the festival, which will be from May 1st through the 9th. The Help Wanted sign is out at the Ottawa County Red Cross office on Holland's north side for full-time, 12-month-long openings with AmeriCorps, an intensive community service agency aimed at those out of the workforce or recently graduated from college to make connections and get job experience in a variety of areas. More information is available through the Red Cross or online at AmeriCorps.gov. Although the legislature is on summer break, some state lawmakers are back in Lansing today. Most of the attention will focus on the Senate Government Affairs Committee, which begins 2 days of hearings this afternoon on the governor's proposed Healthy Michigan Medicaid expansion plan that had cleared the House before last month's recess. But Arlen Meekoff and his colleagues in the upper chamber did not move that quickly.
We really need to understand this better because given the nature of a number of folks that are going to be consuming health care, those of us on the baby boomer side, that when we get to retirement, that segment of the population is going to grow. So we want to have some more information so we can understand it. This is a big policy change in Michigan, and we need to be very informed so that we make good decisions.
In an appearance on our FM station, WYVN 92.7 The Van, Meekoff, the West Olive Republican, told host Michael Patrick Shields that the governor isn't putting pressure on the Senate's sober second look on this matter.
He put something out there as kind of a marker and said, look, if you don't like what I put out there, you got to come up with something different, but still solve the problem. And that's the issue we have in front of us. Even though we don't like what the governor proposes, the issue doesn't go away. So just simply saying no isn't the solution. You have to find some way to solve the problem.
Meekoff does expect some sort of action on the plan by the end of August, but he defers to Senate Majority Leader Randy Richardville of Monroe, who also chairs the GAC, as to whether or not a vote will be taken. The Obama administration has proposed that the federal government spend $50 million to prevent the spread of the Asian carp into Lake Michigan, and while many Michigan activists say the administration's plan is a good start, they would still rather see the construction of a permanent barrier to totally seal off the Chicago shipping channel.
The proposal now is to add more underwater nets to stop the invasive fish from making its way into the Great Lakes, but Patty Burkholz with the Michigan League for Conservation Voters says those nets aren't all that reliable.
There are four permanent barriers across the waterways south of Chicago, but they're not perfect. It's not been proven conclusively that they can stop them. They're very expensive to operate, and they have gone down when there have been electrical storms in the area and been without power.
She says that the waterways from Chicago to Lake Michigan should be totally sealed off. It's the only way to be sure the Asian carp doesn't damage Michigan's $7 billion fishing industry by getting in and killing off native species. Andrew Green reporting.
As the Detroit bankruptcy proceedings continue, talks continue about protecting municipal employee pensions. State Representative Joe Habman's sentiments reflect those of his legislative colleagues in offering a hand up, not a hand out, to the Motor City.
If we see private investment coupled with normal public investment, revenue sharing, and things like that targeted toward those areas that Detroit needs and rebuild that city and rebuild those neighborhoods. I see renewed optimism about Detroit.
The Holland Republican says all of the state is stained by Detroit's plight.
Detroit is our largest city, and in so many respects, their reputation carries over on how people feel about all of Michigan. It's important that we do look at a plan that rebuilds that city.
State Attorney General Bill Schuette has filed a brief in federal court asking that Detroit's municipal pensions be preserved during bankruptcy proceedings. Idle last night, the Tigers returned to Comerica Park this evening for the start of a brief two-game series versus the Washington Nationals. It was billed before the season as a battle of baseball's heavyweights, and while Detroit has held up its end by leading the AL Central with a 59-45 record, Bryce Harper and the Nats haven't fared as well, a 52-54 mark leaving them 9 games back of Atlanta in the NL East, although they come to the Motor City on a 3-game winning streak.
You know, I still feel a little out of whack a little bit, but day in and day out, trying to get better, working my swing a little bit more, and feeling good in that leadoff spot. So, hopefully I can keep it going and keep winning ball games.
Anibal Sanchez gets the start for the Tigers against Washington's phenom, Steven Strasburg. Coverage with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price on 1450 WHTC begins at 6:40 p.m. Flush from a 3-game sweep of the defending champion Giants in San Francisco over the weekend, the Cubs returned home to the friendly confines last night and promptly fell flat on their faces in a 5-0 loss to visiting Milwaukee. The Brewers pushed across 5 runs in the top of the 9th inning to break a scoreless tie. Chicago manager Dale Swain saw those warning signs coming.
In the last game in Arizona and one other game in Arizona, we scored 1, so 2. Two games there, we scored 1 and 6 runs in there and none tonight. So we gotta get the bats going somehow.
The series with the Brew Crew continues on the north side this afternoon with Carlos Villanueva on the hill for the Cubs against Milwaukee's Yovani Gallardo. The struggling White Sox hung tough with the Indians in Cleveland last night before falling 3-2 on a Jason Giambi pinch hit home run in the bottom of the ninth. Now while Chicago scuffles to the AL Central basement, Giambi and the Tribe are now 2.5 games back of the Tigers for the division lead.
I love how we're growing, and that's what I keep telling them. We're growing. We're going to keep learning and getting better and better. And I always kept saying, even the down times, we were learning. We were making a few mistakes here and there, but, we had opportunities to win games, which I was most excited about.
The series at Progressive Field continues this evening. Cleveland will send Scott Kazmir to the mound. And the White Sox are expected to scratch their scheduled starter, Jake Peavy. Peavy, who beat the Tigers last Thursday for Chicago's only win in over a week, has been the center of a lot of trade rumors, and he may be gone, or at least preserved for a possible trade. That's why he'll be scratched from tonight's start. Hot dogs are a dime each at Fifth Third Ballpark tonight, and the Whitecaps hope that the hits will come just as cheaply and just as plentiful as they open a home-and-home four-game series versus the Great Lakes Loons, who are four games ahead of the Caps for the last postseason playoff berth. West Michigan is coming off a 4-3 victory at South Bend that lifted them over the 500 mark for the second half of the Midwest League season. The two teams will play at Comstock Park again tomorrow evening. That game will be on 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com at 6:50 p.m. before they square up in a couple of contests at Dow Diamond in Midland on Thursday and Friday nights. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon with a high of 81. Increasing cloudiness tonight, low 64. A few thunderstorms are possible tomorrow, high 81. And then some sun, some clouds on Thursday, high 77. Water temperature, 51. Green flag is flying. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.